Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. This morning we return to the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus has been speaking with his disciples on the topic of worry. Jesus is aware that it is very common for people to worry, and I'm sure that his disciples worried about many things and shared those worries with Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we looked at a passage from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, where Jesus helps us to understand why it is that we often worry. What he used was an illustration where he gives several sets of comparisons. First, he talks about heavenly treasure versus earthly treasure, and then he talks about a healthy vision versus an unhealthy vision. And thirdly, he talked about God as our master versus something else like money or some other earthly thing being our master. And what Jesus is saying is that worry stems from earthly treasure, by which Jesus means those things that we see in life that we think are going to make us happy if we can accumulate them, that will give us security if we can have them, that will give our life a sense of purpose if we can accumulate them. He said, if you're storing up earthly treasure, these things that are just primarily for yourself and for your own life, they're going to be a source of worry for you. Because the reality that those things are quite often easily lost. Jesus says that these are the kind of things that moths and rust destroy and thieves will come in and steal. Jesus is saying that these are things that are hard sometimes to hold on to, and it causes us to worry. We worry about losing them. We worry about what we can do to hold on to them, and we often feel like it is up to us to make sure that we have enough of these things, and once we have them, to not let them go. And so we worry about them. And it is not only the treasures that we have that we've been able to store up, these earthly treasures, but Jesus says, secondly, there's also an unhealthy kind of vision, an unhealthy kind of way of looking at the world, because not only is our attention focused on what we have and what we've been able to accumulate, but we see all these other things in the world and we go, boy, I'd like to have that. And ooh, that would be wonderful to have. And if I had that, then I'd be even in better place. And so our eye kind of wanders in, Jesus says, an unhealthy way, and we begin worrying, we begin thinking about, we begin even becoming anxious about, well, why don't I have that? And how can I get it? And what is my life going to be like if I don't? The things that we don't have, and yet we think we need, we have to have them. And if we don't, then our life is not as good as we'd like it to be. And so this unhealthy eye, which kind of has this way of looking at things for our own selfish purposes, Jesus says, it creates a kind of a darkness within us, a worrying, anxious kind of a way of being about life. And if we are focusing our energies on accumulating earthly treasure, and if we have this eye that is looking for getting more and more things that we think are really important to ourselves, we run the risk of making those things our master. Essentially serving them as if that is what is going to give our life meaning. That is what's going to give us purpose. That is what is going to be critical in our life to pursue those kinds of things. Jesus says, it's now become your master. That's what you will serve. You will serve accumulation. You will serve acquisition. but all from an earthly standpoint, from this point of view of what it can do for me and how it can care for me. And Jesus said, that's why you worry. That's why you are so anxious about so many things. So that was a couple of weeks ago. Last week, we talked about the next few verses in that passage from verses 25 through 30. And in that passage, Jesus says, now that I've explained to you where worry comes from, let me tell you, you don't need to worry about those kinds of things because your God knows you, He knows what you need, and He loves you, and He cares for you. So trust Him that He will provide. You don't need to worry. He used the illustration, if you remember from last week, of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. He said, contemplate what God has revealed about Himself in nature. Look at birds, which are so inconsequential, and yet God has made sure that they have what they need. They don't have to wake up in the morning and start worrying about, I wonder if there will be things to eat today. All they have to do is to fly out from the nest and look for those things that God has provided, and there they are. And that's how they live. And Jesus says, look at the lilies of the field. You look at them and you consider them to be beautiful. God is the one who has clothed them. God is the one who cares for them to reveal His goodness and His grace. And aren't you, as Pastor McLean pointed out last week, greater than lilies? Aren't you more important than birds? And if you think that God has created a world in which birds and flowers are taken care of, don't you think that God will take care of you? You who have been created a special creation, created in His image, as we're told in Genesis chapter 2. So Jesus says, you don't need to worry about those things because God cares for them. Today we get to the third part of Jesus' teaching on worry. Having talked about why we worry and having explored with His disciples the reality that they don't need to worry because they serve a God who cares for them, Jesus is now going to introduce a third aspect of worry where He says, let me tell you a much better way to live, a much better way to live than causes worry and anxiety in your life. And that's what we're going to look at together. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 31 and reading through verse 34. These verses are in your bulletin. And for those of you at home, if you have your own Bible, or you can follow along with the verses up here on the screen. And so Jesus continues His conversation with His disciples in verse 31 saying, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, and what will we drink, and what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Again, worry comes from focusing on the wrong kind of treasure, having the wrong kind of vision, following the wrong kind of master. Heavenly treasure, a heavenly vision, a heavenly master are all aspects of the kingdom of God. And if we seek those things, Jesus says, then we are going to enter into a kind of life, a righteous kind of living that will not be dominated by worry and anxiety, but rather will have the love and the joy and the peace and all the other blessings that God promises for our lives. See, He says in the verses we just read that those who don't know their Heavenly Father, their thoughts are dominated by these kinds of things. What are we going to wear? Where are we going to eat? And so on and so forth. But He says, you don't need to think in that way. Because if you're seeking the kingdom of God, then you're going to be thinking thoughts along with God. And God's thoughts are, these are not things I want you to be spending time and energy focusing on, and certainly not worrying about. rather be focusing on the things that are important to the kingdom of God, to people being able to live within what God desires for them. Now, we want to be careful and say here that Jesus is not saying that what we eat and what we drink and the kind of home in which we live is unimportant. Jesus understands that these things are important. I'm sure as he was talking with his disciples, he recognized, especially given the way in which they were living, these disciples who had left their homes, they had left their jobs, and they were wandering the countryside with Jesus. I'm sure it crossed their mind every now and then to, well, I wonder what we're going to have for dinner tonight. I wonder where we're going to sleep. My sandals are wearing out. I wonder how I'm going to get another pair. I don't have money. I don't get a regular, you know, check from my work or from the government or anything like that. I'm sure that was part of their conversation with Jesus. Jesus is not saying these things are unimportant. He's just saying be careful that you don't make them more important than the things of God. See, God will take care of them. Trust in Him. And now you can focus on what is critical to God. And He is the one who cares for us. He is the one who provides all that we need. When we find ourselves worrying and wanting to redirect our thinking, Scripture is critical. And, of course, so is prayer. One of the wonderful scriptures on this topic of not worrying is probably the best-known part of the Old Testament, best-known passage in the Old Testament, the 23rd Psalm. Most people know how that psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." And people know it's a beautiful psalm, even if they may not be able to recite it. But what is it that David, King David, who authored the 23rd Psalm, what is it that "the Lord is my shepherd" leads him to declare? It's the very next phrase. "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." Or in the more traditional, "I shall not be in want." The Lord is my shepherd, so I have everything that I need. Because He's the one who takes care of me. He's the one who knows what I need, and He makes sure that He leads me to those places where I can get them. The image here is a flock of sheep who are, as they leave the sheepfold in the morning, are following the shepherd. And where is the shepherd going to take them? The psalm tells us. He leads me to quiet waters. He leads me to where I can get a drink because He knows that I'll be thirsty. He leads me into green meadows, places where I can lie down and rest. He leads me safely. He knows that there are wild animals and other dangers out there, but He protects me. He guards me. I can trust Him. He guides me. I don't need to get up in the morning and worry about what am I going to eat today and what am I going to drink and where am I going to go and where are the dangerous places and all the things that a sheep might normally be worried about because he has a shepherd. And David says it's just like that in my relationship with my Heavenly Father. He's my shepherd. And when I, so to speak, leave the sheepfold in the morning and go out about my day, I know that He's out there with me. And if I just trust Him, He will take me where I need to go. He will provide for me what I need. He will guard me. He will guide me. And even if I wander, as he says later in the psalm, through the valley of the shadow of death, even in the darkest times in my life, David is saying, He's right there with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. The shepherd is the one in whom I place my trust, and I don't have to then worry about all these things. And he ends this beautiful psalm, "And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." That's the kind of life I get to live when the Lord is my shepherd. A life of goodness and mercy. And when this life is over, when this life is done, then the shepherd is ready to take me home, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Even my very life I can entrust to Him because He will keep it safe, and I will be with Him in eternity. He provides everything that I need. So yes, there are many things that are important in life. But Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added unto you or provided for you as well. These things, the things that those who do not have a Heavenly Father are spending their time worrying about, thinking about, working after, and trying to accumulate for themselves. To seek the kingdom of God is to have our primary concern being the things that concern God. And what primarily concerns God? Jesus has told us very succinctly. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the content of the kingdom of God. To seek the kingdom of God is to seek those things. And the primary way in which we can love God is to trust Him. We can't give Him things. He doesn't need anything from us. But what He desires and what shows God that we love Him is to trust Him, to do what David did. Lord, You are my shepherd. And with You as my shepherd, I trust that I will have all that I need. That's the way in which we love God. Now, we do love our neighbor in more material ways, because Scripture is clear, and Jesus goes on, for example, later in this very same Gospel of Matthew, and saying, you know, that there were times in your life that you came across people who were in need. He gives several different categories by way of example. Some were hungry, some were thirsty, some were sick, some were naked, some were in prison. And he says, looking at certain people, he says, when you saw those people who were in need, you went to them and you gave them something to eat and you gave them something to drink and you shared your clothes with them and you visited them when they were sick and you spent time with them in their prison. And in so doing, you made your primary concern what is our Heavenly Father's primary concern. You were seeking the kingdom of God. But see, that is so hard to do when we're constantly worried about ourselves and what we have. And if we have something that we could share with others, we're going, yeah, but if I do that, then I don't have it. What happens if I don't have it? And will I have enough? And on and on and on. It is worry that keeps us from seeking the kingdom. It is worry that keeps us from the primary concern of our lives being the same as the primary concern of God. It is worry, anxiety, and spending too much time thinking about and obsessing on these things that keep us from reaching out and loving those in need. It's usually not because we have sat down and deliberately said, I couldn't care about anybody else. It's just that we care too much about ourselves. And Jesus is saying, you don't need to do that, because your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He will provide it. So let's live a different kind of life. Let's live a life seeking the things of the kingdom of God. You can imagine that what you have is in an open hand. That somehow if you can fit everything you own and everything that's important to you in your hand. Are you willing to keep it open before God? So that God, if He says, you know, I see what you have there, Steve, and I'd like you to share that with someone else. I'd like you to keep your hand open and allow me to take it out of your hand and to put it in the hand of someone who's in need. Steve, you're a part of a congregation, Congregational Presbyterian Church. And that church where Jesus Christ is Lord has certain needs. There's certain things that the church is seeking to do in the name of my Son, Jesus Christ. Are you willing to share a part of what you have? Are you willing to give up some time to those ministries? Are you willing to provide some expertise in areas where you know and where you have experience that can help the church? Are you willing to take some of your financial resources and commitment to that congregation, to that ministry where I have called the people of that congregation to be those who seek the kingdom of God? by loving me and loving their neighbor as themselves? Are you willing to keep an open hand? Or when you look at all the things that you have and you start worrying about holding on to them and thinking about what it means to lose some of them, and maybe seeing things you'd like to have in your hand, but they're not there yet, but you kind of, as soon as you get them, then you close your hand more and more and more, and finally, there's nothing there that God can take, and He's not going to force it. We can close our hand to God. We can close ourselves off to Him and say, no, I am keeping this for me. Now, Jesus does warn when you do that, it has a way of slowly dissipating and eventually disappearing. You certainly won't be able to take it with you. But even in this life, your fist is going to be very tentative in terms of being able to hold on to it. But still, that is our tendency. And the issue of a closed fist is, on one hand, we try to convince ourselves that, well, at least it's safe. At least I'm controlling it. At least it's not going to just disappear. But what can God not do with a closed fist that He can do with an open hand? God can't bless a closed fist. God cannot add to a closed fist. There may be a bunch of things in there that you have accumulated for yourself and that you're trying to hold on to for your purposes. But can we really say, God, would you please add some things? There's some things that I'd like. Would you give me some things if it's closed? Scripture encourages us to keep an open hand before God. Yes, allowing Him to take some of those things that are there and use it for purposes that are not directly, as we understand it, related to us. And yet when He does so, the promise is that He will fill it. He will provide for us. He will make sure there's always enough in here for our needs. Give, Jesus goes on to say in the very next chapter of Matthew, give and it will be given to you by the Heavenly Father is the implication. Give and it will be given to you. And Jesus says, pressed down, shaken together, it will overflow into your lap. Here you need to imagine that maybe you're sitting down and your open hand is above your lap. And God is going to keep filling things into your hand, and He's going to press them down and they're going to overflow, and you're going to experience blessing because you were willing to give. Now, we have to be careful. This is not a reward. This is not some kind of mathematical formula, give X so that you can get Y, but it is living God's way. It is being like the birds of the air. It is being like the lamb that follows the shepherd. I trust that I will be taken care of. And Jesus says, not only will you be taken care of, you'll really be taken care of. Because that's what God loves to do. He is a generous God who provides for His people. But only if their hand is open. Only if they're willing to seek the kingdom. Making God's priority our priority. Making God's primary concern our primary concern. And then all the other concerns that we have, Jesus says, God will address them as well. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus' teaching. He knew His disciples very well, and He knows us very well. And He knows worry is one of those things that that really all of us deal with at different times. It is so much a part of, it feels like being a human being, that oftentimes we maybe even take it for granted that it would not be anything else other than worrying and being anxious about things. But Scripture is clear that Jesus is saying, you know, worry only makes things worse, not better. He helps us understand where worry comes from. He helps us to see that God loves us and we don't need to worry. And He shows us a better way where our focus is not on what we have and accumulating more, but our focus is on the kingdom of God. And to take whatever it is we have and to say, God, this is Yours to use in order that I may love You and that I may love my neighbor. And I trust Your Son when He says that He will provide for me. That like David, who sees himself as a sheep with a loving shepherd, I can go out into my day and I can live life knowing that you are providing for me, that you're there protecting and guarding, that you're guiding, that you are with me in even the hardest times in my life. So Lord, help me to have an open hand before you. Help me to be able to and willing to reach out to others as you show them where there's need and how I can be a part of meeting that need. May I be generous because I have a Heavenly Father who is generous with me. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.